You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Well, let's look to the scripture today. We're in chapter number 30. And tonight, today, as we think of this, in my estimation, it's my estimation, I believe I've lived my life in the greatest country in all the world. Amen. I love America. I thank God for what other countries are here. We have a brand new whole division of folks in here this morning from Brazil, Portuguese, and the vast majority do not even understand one word I'm saying right now, but they come Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they want what this place is. Amen. And many have been saved. We had two more saved this morning. Amen. I love the Brazilians. Yes. And I just thank God for them. And you name the country, it's present here. But I love America. Amen. I want you to love your homeland. But we're all here in America, and we need to be a melting pot for the world. My grandparents came from Germany, and my wife's family came from Sweden, and we were accepted in America, and I'm so grateful. America's the only nation in the world that was founded as a Christian nation. Right. No other nation. It was the first place on planet Earth in 1620, if I'm not mistaken, that they declared in Rhode Island that you have religious freedom and religious liberty to choose what you want. We left the old land, the mother country, because they said you have to be part of the mother church. And they came here seeking religious freedom. And that's why no law respecting religion. You have the right to choose your religion. You have the right to choose Christianity. Or the right to reject it. That's a foolish thing. I love America. I grew up right here, 15 minutes from here. And every day we had the pledge to the flag. I love that flag right here. We don't pledge the flag in America anymore in our schools, but I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I love this country. I love the red, white, and blue. Come by our house. I've got three big flags in the front. I have a big flagpole in the back for the expressway to see. I love this great country. But I'm so concerned for America. Abraham Lincoln said, "We will never be destroyed from outside from a transatlantic power. But if America is destroyed, she'll be destroyed from within." How prophetic in the late 1860s, mid-1860s when he said that. We will be destroyed from within. Paul said this, "After my departure, shall grievous wolves come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things, drawing us away." I mentioned about a week or two ago the new book that's out, Shepherds for Sale. And it shows how George Soros has been funding all evangelical churches and the mega churches of society and expecting us to believe in climate control. And most churches have bought into it. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, it dethrones God. Because man is not in charge of the weather. I don't care what 18-year-old girl tells you that we're in charge of the weather. God says he sends the rain, he sends the snow, he sends the wind, he sends the ice, he sends the hail. God is in charge. This is the day that the Lord hath made. God made this day. Now, we're to be good stewards. I understand all that. But I tell you what, put your order in. If you want, in Hawaii, you want snow at Christmas, and put your order for it. Tell some mankind that you want that. No, man cannot create the weather. God does. The churches have been hijacked with this new movement, transgenderism. And they're teaching now in our churches how to accept your transgender children, how to go to their weddings, how to embrace them. Churches are doing this. They're turning to one another in church, race against race, and white people turn to other races and say, I want to tell you right now, I apologize. I'm not apologizing to anybody. Because I grew up in a generation, red and yellow, black, brown, white, they are precious in His sight. That's why in this church, you look, we have 100 countries here represented right now in this auditorium this morning. And by the way, not one is superior over the other. Thank God, that's Acts chapter 2. Every nation under heaven was there, and they were one accord. Government cannot legislate me to love this Filipino man, but God legislated our hearts together when we met about 30 some years ago in the Philippines. And I'll tell you what, I feel like I have the greatest man leading music around here in the world. This man that led the choir, he is Hispanic. I feel like he's the best man I've ever seen. He's amazing. No one's going to make me love that. I love him because his wife knows how to make burritos. Do you know how to make burritos? I've never been to your house, come to think of it, for burritos. But after the twins come, I want to come and have, I'm telling her she's got three kids going, but I've done, took it down to two today. It's no big deal, just one more. These white boys over here, I like them. I don't love them, but I like them. I'm so burdened for America. We're self-destructing. Telling children to mutilate their bodies. A president that stood on Easter and said, this is transgender day today, on our Easter. A country, and by the way, all these corporations are getting rid of this now. A Pride Month. A Pride Month. Advocating men and men can burn in their lust. According to Romans 1, that is an abomination to God. The problem in America is that we have rejected God. Have you ever read The Rise and the Fall of the Roman Empire? The Roman Empire destructed because, one, a rejection of what they called religion. Secondly, because the family was destroyed. In America, we are purposely destroying the family. And we think of this text today, and I want to bring to our attention that America's greatest, great, I won't say the greatest need, because the greatest need is Christ. But America's great need is the home. America's great need is the family. America's great need is a dad. And every single one of us ought to be making deposits in the home every day. Our home is, it's just the two of us now. We have 22 in our family with 14 grandkids. There's 22, but we're scattered all over. But we invest every day in our children and our grandchildren. I was watching my wife investing in a 22-year-old grandchild this morning on a thread, and I think her aunt, if I'm not mistaken, texting back and forth on a family thread. And I don't do that because I'm not going to get involved in all that next 20 minutes or whatever it is. But I want to make investments in those kids. Our grandkids, they're scattered around this country. We love those grandkids. We've been alone for years. Our daughter, who's a pastor's wife in Southern California, they've been out of our home on February. It's going to be 25 years ago she was married. The Fineras, they're going to have 20 years in December. Brother Tim's going to have 15 years. And he does have 15 years, I think, whatever it is. We've been alone for a long time, and I love it. She chases me around the house with a whip, and I'm okay with that, I guess. You know, at least she lets me stay there. America's great need is where I'm going today with this. Remember I introduced Edgar, and he was the man that was brutish? Let's see some things about this. Though he was brutish, he had enough sense to love his boys. He was brutish, but he had enough sense. Well, I'm not a executive. I don't have an earned degree as a doctor or a lawyer or this or that. I don't have an MBA. I don't have a BA. I don't have a whatever it might be. I'm not a CEO of a company. Well, you don't have to be, but have enough sense to love your family. Look at verse 1. The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy of the man. We know nothing about him other than what history tells us and what Scripture says. Unto Ithiel, and then he says Ithiel and Ukel. Those appear to us historically as brothers. I don't think anybody's going to call yourself, hey, Ukel. Anybody named Ukel here? Anybody? Anybody named Ithiel around here? Anybody? You know, a good name for your children would be Jack. But he said, boys, I want to talk to you. He knew that his boys were going to be smarter than he was. But boys, I want to instruct your life. And I hope that you children that are here, and I know we have basically teens and aboves in here today, but I hope you're smart enough to listen to your dad, that maybe you've outsmarted him. Maybe you know more about some subject than he does now. Maybe you know more than your mother. The man would preach behind this pulpit right here. I was at his funeral. I remember speaking at that funeral. He was a pastor of a church about 37, 38, 3,900 people in the tobacco fields of North Carolina. His dad was 39 years of age as a preacher, and his dad dropped over dead with a heart attack. He was in eighth grade, Bobby Robertson. And Brother Bobby Robertson had to quit school in eighth grade and worked in those tobacco fields to help his mother and his brothers as the same. And his education went to eighth grade. This building's designed after his. I just took a picture. I said, I want a steeple like that out front. I want brick like that out front. I want people who try to, in this area, an architect say, don't build it like a church. Build it like a center. Build it like it could be used as a seminar. I said, I don't want that. I want a church. I want in Santa Clara, California, I want it to look like a church. In the heart of the Silicon Valley, that steeple goes up 94 feet, 9.5 story building. And it's lit at night. You can see it all around this region. And I want you to know that here's a man with eighth grade education. He'd stand in this pulpit. Most of the time, in a couple words, just a few, he'd get his tenses wrong. He would say, instead of once, he'd say once. Twice, he'd say twice. He had, sitting in his church, I preached there for 31 years. He had that thing in that balcony filled, the lower floors filled, packed out, people. He had doctors, he had nurses, he had lawyers, he had airline pilots, he had executives, he had CEO. You name the people, many of their members are watching right now. Many are home with the Lord now. Dr. Bobby Robinson, stand. He didn't stand as an educated man. He stood as a man of God. As a man of God, they sat at his feet and heard the word of God. He could say, verse 2, I'm more brutish than the rest of you, but he knew God. And they were smart enough to, and kids, your mom and dad, they're smarter than you. Get under some authority. Obey your mother, obey your father. There's not a verse in the Bible that tells you to disagree with your dad. Child left himself, bringeth his mother to shame. Listen to mama. Listen to your dad. Dad's that puts responsibility upon us. But he had enough common sense to say, I'm spending time with my boys. I love we spend time with our kids when they're in our home. We play sports every day, my son and I. Basketball, baseball, soccer. Say, well, you had a lot of time? No, I didn't have time. But he was my time. I'd get off work, and the girls would come out at times. My wife would come out after dinner. We'd play basketball. We'd play things together. We went to a park. The five of us played baseball games together. We went on rides together. We looked at things together. We looked at the colors of the leaves when they were changing. We had family Bible time and prayer. I never felt like it was very good. I worked at it. but I wasn't very good at it. But I tried, and we prayed with those kids. I can remember when they're little in their little cribs, I'd steal away into their nursery and their little rooms at night, and I could not sleep. I'd go in there and get by their crib and pray and seek God's face for their life. I love those kids. Our boy pastors a church in Arizona, and our daughter's a pastor's wife. The other one's a pastor's wife. Hey, we love those kids. I have a responsibility yet to this day. I have a responsibility, my sons and my daughters and my grandkids and my wife, together we have a responsibility. 13 out of the 14 have been saved. One last one, only 4 years away. One more has to get in and understand eventually what salvation's about, and she'll be saved in time. Then we've got to pray they marry the right people. Not a jerk. Not a guy or a girl that's going to draw them away from God and from the heritage of their mom and dad. Surely I'm more stupid, more dumb, more ignorant than any man, but I've got enough sense to love my family. Dad, is that you? Mother, is that you? Look what else he had enough sense. He had enough sense to walk humbly before his children. Verse 2, surely I'm more brutish than any man. I have not the understanding of man. Neither learn wisdom or have the knowledge of the holy. He said, I'm not the prime example of intelligence. You know, right there where you folks are sitting right there, Brother Mofi, where my parents sat. My dad didn't have any college. My mother didn't have any college. They went as high as high school. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I went further than that. I got my bachelor's degree. I got education. I watched that dear, sweet, elderly man and my sweet mother pass away. They had more smarts than I ever would have. A degree doesn't make you smarter than someone else. I'm more intelligent than the whole world. He had enough sense to know I need to walk humbly before my children. That's what he's trying to emphasize. He had enough sense to be humble. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he says, and he'll exalt you. My dad was such a humble man. My mother was such a humble man. My father-in-law, the mother-in-law that I never met, she's been passed away 54 years now in October. Died young. But I can tell you something, they were humble people. I've pastored humble people. I've pastored proud people. I've never seen a proud heart succeed in life. Well, they might get money, but that's not success. When there's no peace of heart and no kindness in the family and the unit, and we tear things apart all the time, and we go to work and we tear up everything because we're not humble before God. Here's a father. He said, I want to have enough sense to spend time with my children. Here's a father. I want to have enough sense to walk humbly before God. Look at verse 4. Here's a father. Look what he says here. Who hath ascended up to heaven or descended? He's in charge of the weather. Who hath the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? And established all the ends of the earth. What is his name? What is his son's name, if thou can tell? He had enough sense that he knew there was a powerful God. Son, you're going to have to know who God is. Daughter, you're going to have to know who God is. We've had such a wonderful life here. But you don't make it nearly 50 years with the same mate. Her, for you know, I'm the difficult one, not her. You don't make it with the same mate. You don't make it in the same church for 50 years without God. In these 52 years of marriage, almost there have been so many times I felt like a failure. In parenting, I felt like a failure. We moved in this building here from the other property August the 20th, 2006. And for the next year of my life, I've told you this recently, I went through the biggest wrestling in my heart. I'd walk in here when it was dark and see 3,000 seats, and I got scared to death. I'd been here already 30-some years, 31 years or longer. I said, Lord, why did I do this? This is bigger than I am. I can't do this. I'm scared. I'm frightened. For a year, I battled that. And I'd preach. I felt like I had the touch of God. But I felt like I get so afraid. Why did I do this to these people? Why did we build this big thing? Why did we build it at the same time, 2 years before, a men's dorm and a women's dorm and a gymnasium? God, all this is just more than I can comprehend. I'm scared to death. But I tell you what we have discovered. There is a God in heaven.
Amen.
And God can take the weak, the stumbling things of this world to confound the mighty. And that's why it says trust in the Lord. Where's your trust today? It's in my 401k. Foolish. That thing's going to explode, I guarantee it. Can't keep spending money by the trillions and think it's still going to be there. Well, it's his Social Security. Well, good luck with that. There's no social, there's no security. Well, at my conference isn't my job. The one they're going to lay you off from real soon. My confidence is my wealth. Oh, you mean because when you have an accident and you run a red light and all of a sudden somebody else owns everything you have?
Yep.
Place no confidence in your flesh. I've watched the flesh turn on man so many times, and all of a sudden they had one time had something and then have nothing. I've watched people have good health and on one day's time they lost their health. I want you to understand today that he had enough sense that without God, I cannot do anything. And without God in America, we will destroy ourselves. You watch, something doesn't happen. You think they shut us down for 482 days during COVID. That turned out to be a blessing to us out here on this parking lot. But if they can do that several years ago, next 4 years, they could shut the doors permanently. We get some of these people in that are anti-God, anti-church, anti-everything about what we're trying to do, and America's over. And you'll have to pay a price to be a Christian. Christianity is scoffed, it's mocked. If they would do the same things, I didn't see the opening ceremony, the trans thing of the World Olympics, mocking, but all the nations of the world thought it was good. When I heard about it, it made me want to vomit. Sad day, all embracing it. Say, well, we're going to make it around here. Not without God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He had enough sense to spend time with his boys. He had enough sense to walk humbly before his children. He had enough sense to know that God was in charge. Look at what the next verse says. He had enough sense to know that God's word was powerful. Verse 5, every word of God is pure. One, it's pure. Secondly, it's a shield. You're going to need a protector. It's pure unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. We say, well, I don't believe in all this church stuff. Okay, don't, but it's God's word. I don't believe in church. Bunch of hypocrites. Well, God says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Yes, you probably sit next to a hypocrite. All of us at times seem to be hypocritical. And let him without sin cast the first stone. You haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. That's why I feel like crawling into heaven. The closer I get, the more I realize how little I've done for Christ, what I could have done and should have done. He had enough sense to know that this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I love the old Bible.
Amen.
Sunday school over here in the pastor's garage when I was growing up as a boy, we'd sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. By the way, number five he had enough sense to be content in life. Your kids watch you. I'm not content. We need this. We need. Look at verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. And give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with the food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. And say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal. He goes, God, I just want to be content. Content means enough. God's word says, 1 Timothy, be content with what you have. I know what most of our college students are out this hour in other ministries. I called my dad 55 years ago. Said, Dad, I don't like my roommate. He stinks. He smells. He doesn't shower properly. I'm going to go ask the dean of men if I can get a different roommate. My dad said, no, son, why don't you just stay right there? I want you to learn how to deal with it. People can't be getting you out of problems all the time. You got to deal with it. By the way, that boy that stunk so bad became a preacher, a pastor of a church, and married a good Christian girl and had kids. I think of the wound I would have put in his life. Why are you transferred out of my room? Because you stink! May I say something, ladies and gentlemen? We ought to be content with things. We're most of us are on the stretch trying to find more. I need more of this, I need more of this, and it normally revolves around money. He had enough sense, number 6. Thanks for listening. I only have 47 more to go. He had enough sense to mind his own business. Verse 10, accuse not a servant to his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. Why are we such busybodies? Sometimes I wish I knew how to do the Facebook thing. I don't know how to do online stuff. Normally, if a man is online criticizing everybody, he's a Twinkie Dink. Now, that is a Greek word. It's a Twinkie Dink. Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't go to that church because they don't teach the Bible. He's too loud. You think this is loud? You ought to hear me at home. Peter, God bless him, he's suffering with cancer right now. He gives this big shout, amen. And he was here on a ladder a couple months ago working, and I said, hey, Peter, my wife thinks you're louder than me. I'm way across the parking lot. Nobody's louder than me. I took after my dad, who was very loud, 90% deaf, so he just knew how to talk loud. I said, amen! Yeah, I said, try it, let's hear. He made me sound like a little girl. Don't say amen there, brother. Hold your strength. Man, I tell you, I've heard of men going online blasting their wives. Wow, there's a man. You got that Greek word down, Twinkie Dink. She left me. I tell you what, and you blast your wife online. I've heard of kids blasting their parents. That's a case of the stupids. Yes, sir. How dumb can you get? Woman said, I tell you what, my husband's a jerk. Well, we all know that. Every man's a jerk. But come on, you're going online and doing this stuff. He had enough sense to know to mind his own business. I think I'll finish with 7. He had enough sense to recognize the next generation was falling apart. Verse 11, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, pride, and yet they're not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids lifted up. They're a generation whose teeth are like swords. They tear everybody apart. That generation says, give, give, give. But God never was asking for giving. God was a giver. He gave his life for us. Our world's falling apart. I'll close. In 1960, we believed in what is called the traditional home. Now, I do have an iPad now, And I looked up on secular history a while back, just looked up, not in the Bible, I put the word family in there. And they said traditional family, I was shocked what they said, is a father and a mother and children. They're receiving guidance from parents. Do you know that? That's a good definition. But then it went on and said, but now the traditional family has been redefined. Since 1960, which is, I know, a long time for most of you, but since 1960, we've lost 48% of that. Since 2000, we've lost 24%. They say that there's only 7% left of what we would call a traditional family in America. Because what it is, it's a mother where some foolish man walks out and won't support a child. In California alone, we're $14.4 billion behind in child, billion, not million, billion behind in child support. And there are many that have never given a dime. That's the destruction of the home. And so they said now because their fathers have walked out, 80% of boys in prison, I think it is, Brother Whitlow, you were raised with a fatherless home. Dad, you better wake up. If you father children, you better be part of their lives. And not just when they get older, when they can do something for you. And then they said we've been redefined because a vast majority are now just living together. Animals live together. That's sin, ladies and gentlemen. Any way you look, I don't care. I don't care how you, well, I believe we ought to just, you know, how do you do that? You go to work, say, hey, you want to start living with me? Well, yeah, I guess so. Well, you'll be my 17th man because I've had 16 that haven't worked. Come on in here. What kind of life is that? What kind of example is that to children? Let's just start living together. See if it works. What's a violation of God? It's adultery. Well, that's not, what God says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. Better wake up to the Word of God. Ah, you Baptists, you're so, no, it's the Word of God. As we're disregarding the Constitution now, so we're going to disregard God. You know why the foundation of America, you can't abort a baby. First of all, Psalm 136, God knows that baby. You can't start killing babies and butchering them up in the womb. But our Constitution says in our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, life, first one, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When a nation starts talking about death, 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 euthanasia, how to kill myself. Euthanasia, 80% of men and people that died last year with suicide were men. We have dumbed down this generation. Men are stupid. Men are dumb. Hey, wait a minute. Glad I'm coming. Just thank you, Lord, for reminding me. I didn't get to watch the Olympics. Didn't want to after I heard how they opened it. You got to be kidding me. Big old boy, I don't know what country, goes in the boxing ring with women, won the gold medal, and every nation was for it. Fools. You know, back in the 70s, 80s, ERA, equal rights. I was opposed to that back then. Why? Two became one, and she's called the better half. She is not equal with me. She's kinder, she's sweeter, she's more intelligent. She's godly, more godly than I can. I'm not going to make her even with me. We'll have 50-50 marriage. I rubbed your feet, you rub mine. That's not how this thing's going to work, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine a man getting in a ring? One girl I read said 36 seconds and he knocked her out. What a fool. I got my gold medal. Well, what happened? Well, my name was Ralphie and now I'm Stacy or whatever the name he called himself. But I beat up women. Where was the ERA, Brother Whitlow? Where were they? See, it was never about equal rights. It was about the destruction of the home. What guy would want a gold medal? Walk through the streets? My goodness. We're losing our homes. Children are on their devices 7 hours and 22 minutes a day, excluding school. 59% of all boys under 16, 59% go home, get in the room, they get online, and in hardcore pornography, they're hooked. 59% hooked in. In 1980, 60% of men graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degrees and 40% women. It's just opposite now. Last year, 60% were women that graduated and 40% men. Men are dumb. That's what they've tried to tell us. And so men, boys go back in the room, they play video games, two things, video games all day long in their rooms, video games and pornography. They don't know how to throw a baseball. They don't know how to run. They don't know how to hit a ball and get tagged out at first base and then deal with it. Yeah, I'm going home and tell my mother. You can get as mad as you want, but my race is almost done. But my grandkids' race is not done. And your race isn't done and finished. I want you to have homes, the strength. Whenever you destroy the home, you always destroy not only the nation, but society. Our Father, I have much more I want to say, but I've said enough. I'm out of time. I pray that we would understand the great need is fatherhood. The great need is the home, sweet mamas. The great need today is a family. So many of these ladies are alone in life raising children. Lord, we're so proud of them. So many men are raising children alone. God bless those dear men. Many, many in our school even, in our college, have had a mother pass away. And a dad's trying to do his best, or a dad's passed away and a mother's trying to do her best. Many, many have had a husband walk out on them. God bless these dear people, good people, wonderful people, just trying to keep doing right. May we understand the urgency of the hour is the whole. The freshmen in our college and our high school kids are in here. May they understand how important it is to get wrapped up in knowing God and knowing, as this brutish man said, it's so important I know God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're without Christ, you need to be saved. You must be born again. God says if you're not saved, you won't go to heaven one day. You don't have to give this church money. You don't have to even attend every service. What you need to do is recognize I am a sinner. I was born as a sinner. I inherited from my parents and my parents from their parents. It's been passed down from Adam and Eve, Romans 5:12. God says he'll redeem you, as Vanessa sang this morning. He'll purchase you back, and he did so at Calvary when he died for your sin.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.